So we are going to, as you know, continuing on with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and I have taken a more realistic approach towards this and not going to try to hit a bunch of them at once. We got through love last week. My goal today is joy and peace. We're going to try for joy and peace. I thought long-suffering would be a great one to hit on 1st of January. You know, if we, you know, how many of us want our New Year's resolution to be that I'll be more patient? That'd be a good one, I'm sure. So, but today, to look at joy and peace, and I thought it was kind of neat, too, that it all, that it worked out this way. I'm sure it's not a coincidence, but that we get to look at joy and peace right around Christmas. You know, so that's neat the way that the Lord just worked all that out. I looked up the word joy in Webster's Dictionary, and the definition of joy is this: the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good, that excitement of pleasurable feelings which is caused by success, good fortune, the gratification of desire, or some good possessed, or by a rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire, gladness, exaltation, exhilaration of spirits. And then there's, as if you're familiar with Webster, you know, there's the first definition, 2, 3, 4, so forth. As it goes on here, it says gaiety, mirth, festivity, happiness, felicity. And then number 4 is this: a glorious and triumphant state. A glorious and triumphant state. And my goal this morning, hopefully as we go through these verses and look at joy, is to realize that we are in a glorious and a triumphant state irregardless of whatever circumstances we might be facing. And we're going to look at some verses today that really deal with joy and the circumstances of the joy. I mean, the circumstances that surrounded those people, not necessarily joyful circumstances, but yet they still had joy. But there is going to be, we're going to actually start with some that is just, you know, good news and whatnot. The word joy is found 63 times in the New Testament, and the first time that we find it is in Matthew chapter 2. So if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 2 with me, in verse number 10. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 10. And this is the account of the wise men as they're going to see Jesus. And the wise men had come to Herod the king and asked where they could find the Christ. And he sent them, you know, as you know, they went to Bethlehem and as they were heading out. And the star had disappeared for a little bit, just a very short time. And in verse number 10, as they were heading back out to go and find Jesus, in verse 10 it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. If we turn over to Luke chapter 1, we'll see Luke's account of the birth of Christ. And we see the word joy used quite a bit in the different exclamations here. In Luke chapter 1, in verse number 14, when it's talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth having John, in verse 14 it says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. If we go over to verse 39 of Luke chapter 1, Luke 39, it says this, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, and there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. If we go over to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, the shepherds and the angels coming to the shepherds. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We see this, the joy had by the shepherds. If we go over to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15. So the announcement comes of the birth of Christ. The announcement comes first of the birth of John, but then of the birth of Christ and the joy that surrounded those that were able to, that heard that message. Even John, still in his mother's womb, leapt for joy when Mary gave the word that she was going to give birth to Christ. And so, but we come over to Luke chapter 15, and Luke chapter 15, the first, most of this chapter, about someone, coming back to the Lord or getting saved and such. And in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels, of the angels of God, over one sinner that repenteth. So we see these different examples of people being given good news and the joy that comes from that good news that they hear. And, as excited as Elizabeth was, as excited as Mary was, as excited as John, even in the womb, was at the coming of Christ, think about the joy, and I don't think our minds could fully grasp, but when someone repents and comes to the Lord, the joy and the excitement that there is in the presence of the angels when that happens. You know, we get excited. We love to hear when someone gets saved, and we get excited and we rejoice with them. But can you imagine what it must be like in heaven when that lost person prays and accepts Christ as their Savior and comes to know the Lord? Just amazing. I'm sure that we can't possibly fathom what that would be like, or what that would sound like. If we go over to John chapter 15, John chapter 15, again, we're just going to look at a lot of different verses that have to do with joy this morning. Certainly, we're not looking at all 63 of them. Hopefully, you don't feel that way. But John chapter 15, in verse number 9, John 15, verse 9, you're going to notice as we go through this, we're going to hit some passages of Scripture more than once on different fruits, because the fruits of the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit gives us these fruits, it's interesting in Scripture how they overlap as well. In John chapter 15 and verse number 9, you'll recognize this from last week. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now think about this in verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. It is God's intent that we have the joy of Christ in our lives, in our hearts. Now think about that. What would it be like to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. We might go back to some verses. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Probably you might not even need to turn there. But Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Think about that. As the Lord Jesus endured all of those terrible moments of the trials, of Calvary, of all of that, we have in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, a little look into how he was feeling. You know, the fatigue, the loss of blood, the pain, the agony, and yet, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So I don't think that any of us could compare anything that we've been through in our lives to what Christ endured in those trials and on the cross. But yet it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured that. So think about whatever it is that you might be going through today. And I'm not trying to downplay it. Maybe it's something that is very, very difficult. Maybe it's something that you're really struggling with or something like that. The circumstances that you find yourself in, you can still have joy keeping your eyes and your focus on the Lord. You know, keeping our relationship close with the Lord. You know, when we get into a situation where we are depressed, where things just don't seem to be going right or something like that, remember, these fruits of the Spirit are not conditional upon our circumstances. They're the fruits that the Spirit bring, and they flow out of us irregardless of the circumstances. But you know, the truth of the matter is that we do get down, we do get depressed. There are things that bombard us and really press down on us and weigh heavy upon us, but we can still have the joy of the Lord if our focus is on the Lord and what the Lord is doing through those things. You know, and Jesus hanging on the cross in all of that agony and all of that shame and all of that terrible that happened to him, for the joy that was set before him, he endured that. So to keep that joy and to keep that positive, and you know, I'm probably the worst person. You know, some people, it's hard to read some people. It really is. Some people, they just, you don't know. You know, are they having a good day? Are they having a bad day? Something like that. I have never been that kind of a person. If I'm having a bad day, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. I show it on my face. I show it in my attitude. I show it in the way I react to things. If I'm having a bad day, you're going to know it. But there are some people that are just like, hey, how's it going? The world's great. Da, da, da. But inside, they're just hurting, and they're just grieving, and but they can put on that smile, that countenance. But, you know, this joy that we're talking about this morning is that, really, that joy that does flow from that relationship with God, from what the Holy Spirit brings to us and gives us. I want you to see something. If you turn with me over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. As you're turning there, I'm going to read just some verses out of Romans 5, but please turn to Romans 14. In Romans chapter 5, and just listen to these verses, I'm going to start reading in verse number 8. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now listen to this in verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know, I don't know if you probably have heard this, but if everything else is going wrong, if everything else seems to be going haywire and topsy-turvy and however you want to say it, if we can just take for a moment and just stop and reflect on the love that God has shown us, the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us, helping us, praying for us, guiding us, revealing truth to us, even in the midst of those terrible circumstances, for maybe just a moment, we can smile and go, wow, God loves me. Look at what God did for me. You know, there was a lot of reckoning that I had to do when I woke up in the hospital. And I remember laying there and I remember praying and thinking, God, thank you so much for saving my life. And then I paused for a minute and I went, God, thank you so much for saving my soul. Because you know what? If he didn't save my life, I'd still be with him. I would be with him. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. You know, when we stop and think about the things that are going on around us, and I'm not trying to downplay them, I'm sure that people have, you know, people going through tough times and stuff. But just pause for a moment and think about God. Think about what Christ did for us. Think about the Holy Spirit in us. Think about the love and the care that he has for us. And the fact that he has promised us to never leave us nor forsake us, to walk through those tough times with us, to know that we don't have to go through it alone. There's joy there. In Romans 14, verse 17, it says this, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy," look at this, "in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not the external. It's not those things, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 18. It says, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." You know, when we're serving the Lord and we're keeping our eyes on God and we're living right before God, isn't it interesting how even our enemies, we're able to deal with them, how even our enemies are you know, they're not, they don't seem quite as terrible as they did when we were trying to go it alone, so to speak. Turn with me to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Remember I said these are going to all overlap at some point in another? You know, we're going to get into patience eventually here and stuff. But my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. That's tough. When we're going through a trial, when we're being tempted, when we're struggling with something, it's tough to have joy during that. It's tough to have that kind of an attitude, that kind of a countenance, so to speak. But you know, through Christ, we're able to do that. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I want you to see something really neat here. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, starting in verse number 3. Just really pay attention to these words as I read through this. First Peter 1, starting at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Isn't that just, as I was studying through joy and I finally came to these verses, that is so powerful for us. Because as we look at that, In verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Aren't you glad that it is not up to us to keep us saved? We're saved. He keeps us saved. He holds us. No man can pluck you out of my Father's hand, Christ said in the Gospels. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, right now you might be in heaviness. Right now there might be a hard burden upon you. Right now there may be manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then look at this in verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. That's faith, folks. That's faith. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you think about standing before the Lord, and I'm not talking about the judgment seat or anything like that, but when you think about being in heaven, in the presence of God, doesn't it make you smile? Doesn't it just give you a happiness in your heart to just know that at some point the Lord's going to come back? He's going to take us home. However, you know, if he doesn't take us before, but he's going to come, he's going to take us home, and we're going to live with him in heaven for all eternity in the presence of God, where there isn't going to be any of the trials and the temptations and the burdens and the heaviness that we deal with today. So you know what he's saying? Yeah, woohoo, there we go. Amen. Don't go getting Pentecostal on me. Oh, my goodness. I had like 5 rabbit trails just hit me at once here. I had a guy come and preach for us one time from down south. And after one of the services, he goes, man, the people are so quiet. I said, if you get a nod or even by chance an amen, I said, that's like a jump up hanky waving southern time here. Okay? But yeah, all of the stuff that we deal with now, it's all going to pass away. It's all going to go away. We're going to live with God in perfect beauty, holiness. All of it is just going to be, it's going to be so good, so good. 1 John 1 in verse 3 and 4, it says this, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, 1 John 1:4, that your joy may be full. Is your joy full today? Is your joy full? I'm not talking about your circumstances, but is your joy full? Are you walking closely with the Lord? Irregardless of the circumstances, are you able to have joy in God? Are you able to persevere and press on? And, if I might even say, smile as we go through that, knowing what God has done for us. The last time that we find the word joy in the Bible is in Jude. In Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Jude chapter 1. Look at verses 24 and 25. This is how the book of Jude is closed. Last time we find joy in the scriptures. The word joy. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. That's the last place we find the word joy in the scriptures. And it's talking about us being presented before God. with exceeding joy. But look at how look at how verse 24 starts. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Have you ever thought about that? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. We might be tempted. We'll certainly be tried. But we don't have to fall. We can lean on God. And through him, through Christ, through his Holy Spirit, we don't have to fall. We won't fall. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. That's joy. Now what about peace? You know, this was quite some time ago now. I can't tell you exactly the year or the time frame, but there was a survey done, and it was done by what we would call, I guess, the young adults age group is where that survey was conducted, and it said, what would you like most in your life? And overwhelmingly, the answer was peace. I just want peace. There's so much chaos. There's so much fighting. There's so much just craziness. I just want peace. So I thought, if the world wants peace, where would it go? Well, where else? Google. So I thought, let's find out. If I put into Google, what can I do to find peace? What comes up? This is the top 8 answers from Google for having a peaceful life. Meditate. Meditation is about mental silence. Remember, this is Google. Okay? Take a break from social media. Google got something right. I'll tell you what, we had a lot of peace in our life when we got rid of Facebook and all the rest of that garbage. Still working on my daughter, but you know. Take a break from social media. Practice breath work. I had to look that up, breath work. It means deep breathing. Just take a deep cleansing breath, let it out slowly. I know a lot about breathing now, more than I ever knew before. And there is something to that as far as getting that good deep breath in, getting a good exhale, just releasing that. That's what Google says you need to do to find peace. Be kind to the world around you, but especially to yourself. Isn't that interesting? Take a walk in nature. Laugh as much as you can. Express yourself. Might bring you peace, not necessarily those around you. And then the number 8 was this: practice everyday mindfulness. Everyday mindfulness. I'm really not sure. I didn't go in much further into that. I looked up breath work, but I wasn't going into what everyday mindfulness means. But I found it very interesting that in Psalm 119, 165, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Isn't that interesting? Google says, do these 8 things and you'll have peace. The Bible says, love my word, and you'll have peace. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The word peace is found 111 times in the New Testament, and the first time that we find it is in Matthew chapter 10. If you'll turn with me there to Matthew chapter 10, I'm going to have to keep an eye on the time. It's not up there on the screen for me, so that's a good reminder. I don't know, Keith, I got to say to you, that 9:30 to 9:45 goes by really fast. It really does. Every week I comment on that when we get home. I'm like, you know, I looked at the clock, it was 9:30. I looked at the clock, it was 9:44. I was like, oh, we've got to wrap this up, you know. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to start reading in verse number 5. Remember, we're talking about peace here. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whatsoever shall not, I'm sorry, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. I thought that verse number 13, that's the first time in the New Testament that we find the word peace. I thought it was very interesting. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. Now, these are the 12 that are sent out. Let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. When you enter a room, do you bring peace? Ooh, that's an interesting thought, huh? My father-in-law had a saying. He goes, some people are twice blessing. Once when they come, and then again when they leave. You know? Do we bring the peace of God when we come into a room? When we're in the presence of people, do they sense that we are a person of peace, or are we in chaos? I'll tell you, there have been more than one time, but when we were living in Concord, you know, we'd have a 45, 50-minute drive to come to church. And, of course, we're talking. And we would get talking about world events, and we get talking about things that are going on and whatnot. And, boy, I tell you, by the time you get to church, you're pretty depressed. Like, oh, man, you know, we just spent 45 minutes talking about everything that's wrong with the world, and now we got to walk into church and be like, hey, you know. But, you know, it's true. If we really dwell on the stuff that's going on in this world, that, by the way, is not our home, it'll drag us down. Do we have peace? Do we have that peace with God? In Matthew chapter 10, if we go over to verse number 34, it says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. You know, even Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but he's talking about the world. The world's response to Jesus. Now, as we get saved, our response is we now have peace with God. We now are at peace. There's a peace that now lives within us. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. I promise we'll see those verses again. Okay? Forbearing, longsuffering. Okay? Now watch this though, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Boy, how good it is when we can come together and we can have unity, we can have peace, we can fellowship, and we can take a break from all the chaos that's out there. You know, the Bible tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, the day is approaching, and our world is getting more chaotic. That's why we need this so much, that we can come in, and in a unity, in a bond of peace, in that oneness of Christ, we can fellowship, we can pray, we can sing songs, we can look into the scriptures, and when we go out, we can say, boy, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Peace. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not the children of wrath anymore, like Ephesians 2 says. We are now the children of God. We are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are now at peace with God. Romans 15, verse 13 says this, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Isn't it interesting that we keep seeing the power of the Holy Ghost when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? You know, God really knew what he was doing when he put this Bible together. Don't you? Can you get an amen there? It just so fits, and everything just comes together, and it's just, we've looked at love, joy, and peace, and the verses that overlap in bringing those all into the Christian life. From what? From getting saved. For just saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I need you. I know that Christ died on the cross for my sins. And just save me. And then everything that he gives us. I remember talking to a man one time that had just gotten saved. And he was in the corporate world and been doing that most of his life. And he looked at me and he was saved when we had this conversation. And he goes, you know, one day, I had to think about this. When I got saved, God got me and he got all of me. All my shortcomings, all my frailties, all my wickedness, all that. He says, I brought that all to Christ. But when I got saved, I got all of him. And he goes, isn't that a no-brainer? I was like, you'd think so, wouldn't you? And he goes, wow. He goes, everything that I came to Christ with was garbage. And I walked away with everything that Christ has for me. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's go over to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12, as we get ready to wrap this up. Romans 12, verse 16. In Romans 12, 16, it says this, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now look at verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse 18. If it be possible, God, I can't do it. As much as lieth in you. Ooh. What lieth in you? The Holy Spirit. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. How do we do that? Really, it's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit. We all know people in our lives that we would rather choke than hug. Some of them share the same last name. It's just the truth of it. How do we love them? How do we live at peace with them? How are we able to show forth joy? Because of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. That's it. The last time we find the word peace is in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. The seals are being opened. And in Revelation chapter 6, in verse number 4, actually, I'll start in verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Last time we find the word peace in the scriptures, and it's during the tribulation time when the seals are opened. And that one that sits on the red horse takes peace. And the death toll, or rather I should say the murder rate, skyrockets. We're seeing a lot of that today. We're not seeing this, but we're seeing people that are not living in peace, that dwell in constant chaos, reaching out in violent ways to try to change things. We can have peace. We should have peace. We should have great peace. How do we do that? By loving thy law, by loving God, and by keeping our relationship fresh with him. It gives us everything we need. We just got to tap into it. It's given us everything that we need. We can live that victorious Christian life. He's given it all to us. We just got to grab a hold of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.